Welcome to Deep End of Public Education. My name is Kristen Grubbs, and I am blessed to be allowed time in your day to share with you what I have learned about my school district. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope you found episodes 2 and 3 helpful, as we've been going over what rights parents have when it comes to their students and student records. Today I'll be sharing with you an especially important tool you as parents have when it comes to protecting your children's privacy. This tool is opting in or opting out of a survey, assessment, or program at your student's school. I'll share with you what happened with my daughter in my local school district and what I've learned through that experience. We'll go over when opting in or out are options and how to go about practicing these choices. And then I'll share with you some resources I've found to be helpful, as well as some questions to consider as the new school year begins. So hop on in, let's get swimming in the deep end of public education. I'll start with you today, where my experience in education on this matter began in September of 2021. My daughter had just begun ninth grade, and I'd received an email from her principal at noon on Sunday, September 19th, saying that students will be taking panorama surveys on Monday, September 20th. The email linked to the survey for parents to review if desired. I replied within a few hours of receiving this email saying I wanted to opt my daughter out of the survey. He asked for my daughter's name, I responded, and he ended the communications at 53 a.m. on Monday saying that he emailed my daughter's advisory teacher to communicate that my daughter would not be taking the survey. This seemed good and well, as though I did what I was supposed to do. When December 6th rolled around, I got a text message from my daughter at school, saying she was being given two different panorama surveys, at least different from what she'd taken in eighth grade. She'd done one, but for the second one, she only answered the first question and submitted the rest blank. When I talked with her about it at home after school, she told me that her teacher had told her that she had to do the surveys before she could get to her other schoolwork. Her advisory teacher did not honor my request to opt her out of the surveys, and she not only dishonored it, she made my daughter prioritize the surveys she wasn't supposed to be taking over her other schoolwork. My daughter knew I didn't want her to take the surveys. But what was she supposed to do? Stand up in the quiet room and tell the teacher she is not taking the surveys? I had done what I could do to prevent this whole situation from occurring, and my daughter's teacher failed to honor that. If you'll recall from episode 2, I briefly touched on the Protection of People Rights Amendment, or PPRA, in federal law, which lists certain protected information that students are not to be surveyed on unless parental consent is first given. The Student Privacy Policy Office, which is part of the U.S. Department of Education, published guidance for parents that states, PPRA affords parents of students the right to receive notice and an opportunity to opt a student out of 1. Any protected information survey administered or distributed to a student by a local education agency that is a recipient of funds under an applicable program if the protected information survey is either not funded as part of a program administered by the Department of Education or is funded as part of a program administered by the department but to which a student is not required to submit. 2. Any non-emergency invasive physical examination or screening required by a local education agency as a condition of attendance, administered by the school and scheduled by the school in advance, and that is not necessary to protect the immediate health and safety of a student, with some exceptions. And 3, activities of a local education agency involving collection, disclosure, or use of personal information collected from the students for the purpose of marketing or sale, or to otherwise distribute such information to others for that purpose, with some exceptions. Parents also have the right to inspect upon request, 1, protected information surveys and surveys created by a third party before the administration or distribution by a local education agency of the surveys to a student, 2, any instrument used in a local education agency to collect personal information for the purpose of marketing or sale, or otherwise distributing such information for that purpose, before the instrument is administered or distributed to a student, with some exceptions. And 3, instructional material, excluding academic tests or academic assessments, used by a local education agency as part of the educational curriculum for a student. Okay, so that's a lot of information. To understand it more, or read it yourself, you can do an internet search for PPRA, or do a search on studentprivacy.ed.gov, where you can find the actual law, as well as guidance. You can read the list of what's considered protected information on that site, or you can listen to episode 3 of this podcast when I read through the protected information listed in the law. What this boils down to is, my local school district receives federal funds, so, because surveys like Panorama are not part of a federal program, I had the right to opt my student out of taking them. I was not aware of the process of opting a student out of something, but a friend of mine told me I should try emailing my daughter's principal. Although I was aware that my district is supposed to inform me whether I had the option to opt my students in or opt them out of something, I recently learned that they are to have clearly stated guidance as to what that process is. I inquired with my district office about the process of opting out and was told that during the registration process, a parent can opt out of School Messenger, which is the automated calls from the district, and I can opt out of the digital library card and the student directory information. However, other programs or surveys would need to be requested in writing or email to the principal. I was then told to check the Panorama part of our school website for the process to opt out of Panorama surveys. I clicked on the link provided, and the page it took me to had an overview of the surveys and their purpose. At the bottom of this page, it says, questions about Panorama surveys, including opt-out information, should be directed to your student's building leader. The link provided in that sentence takes me to a directory where I can search for my child's building principal. It sounds like I did exactly what I was supposed to do. So why was that not honored? The latter half of the guidance I read a moment ago says that parents have the right to review surveys before their student is subjected to them. Was I given that opportunity? Yes, but less than 24 hours before my student was to be administered the survey. I don't think giving parents 19 hours notice before the school day began is an appropriate amount of time for parents to not only see the email, but to then review the survey and respond in time with the letter to opt their student out if that's what they choose. From my experience, administrators typically need more time to respond to an email, so why should parents be expected to act in a more expedient manner regarding matters that could result in a violation of student privacy? I was recently thinking back to when I had been notified of my students being given these surveys. Interestingly enough, the email I got that Sunday in September informed me that these surveys would be taken multiple times throughout the year, but it didn't tell me when. It didn't even give me a window of time or a month to expect notice of the surveys. If I'm to be informed, whether in the annual notice I spoke about in episode 3 or in a separate district communication about when my students will be subjected to these surveys, then how come I couldn't even tell you when my elementary kids were given them? Out of curiosity, I did a search in my email to see when I'd received notices from my kids' schools. I got that September 19th email from my daughter's high school principal, but never received notification before she was administered the surveys again in December. I've looked back through my email to find any and all communications from the district about Panorama surveys. The only records I have regarding Panorama survey notices from the district personnel are one from February of 2021, when my oldest was in 8th grade online academy in the district. It was a reminder saying that students were to complete the surveys by the end of the week, but no link was given me to review the survey, and there was no notice of my right to opt her out. Also, if that email was the reminder, where was the original notice? The only other record I found was one from the district's public relations administrator to all district families in March of this year, notifying families of the upcoming surveys. It gave links to the surveys, but it too said nothing about the right to opt out. I tell you all of this to demonstrate how transparency is mightily lacking in my district. We as parents have rights, and when those rights aren't being honored, we need to stand up and hold our school districts accountable for those violations. But how do we do that? Keep swimming with me in the deep end of public education as I share some resources I've found to be useful in my searching for understanding. Then I'll go over how we can report these violations of parental rights. Locally, there's an organization in Missouri called Parents Changing Education. This was one of the first organizations I crossed paths with that began to open my eyes to how critical race theory had already infiltrated my district and informed me what my rights as a parent were when we were dealing with mask and vaccine concerns. You can find them on Facebook at Parents Changing Education. There's an excellent resource I've found regarding issues across the country. It's called Parents Defending Education, which is a 501c3 charitable organization that collects claims from parents nationwide, researches them, and compiles reports and articles that they share on their website, defendinged.org. If you go check them out, you can do a search on their site for their article about opting out. At the bottom of their opting out article, there are links to other resources, like if you're wanting an opt-out form for your state. There's a link to the Pacific Justice Institute with form letters for each state. If your child goes to private school, there's a link to another article on how to write a letter opting students out in a private school. I know this podcast is titled Deep End of Public Education, and the issues I'm discussing are what I've found in public education, but that doesn't mean these same issues aren't happening in private schools. I listened to a podcast from earlier this year that discussed how private schools are just as permeated with questionable programs, practices, assessments, surveys, and even actively keeping parents in the dark about conversations between students and school personnel. It's important to be vigilant wherever your students attend school, because they are out of your care for 30 to 40 or more hours each week. Unless you are homeschooling, there are opportunities for schools to expose or influence your child in a practice or ideology that you don't want your child to be exposed to or influenced by. As for how to report violations of parental rights, first, you'll want to contact your student's principal about the violation you've experienced. To be completely transparent here, I haven't done that. I let the situation get to me, thinking that I had no proof of the violation until recently, when I recalled that I had text messages from that day in which my daughter told me she'd been given the surveys. The principal that I'd communicated with is now retired, so there's no way to remedy the situation with him. I have, however, filed a complaint with the Student Privacy Policy Office. Because this dismissal is a violation of my federally protected rights, this office was the way to go. Although I'll note here that I expect my complaint to be dismissed, as the violation must have occurred within the last 180 days or within 180 days of when the complainant became aware of the violation. So if you choose to file a complaint, be sure you get the form submitted as soon as possible. To file a PPRA complaint with the SPPO, you can go to their website, studentprivacy.ed.gov, and click on the big button at the top right of the page that says File a Complaint. This will take you to a page with a couple of fun videos that explain the whole process. Scroll down the page a little and you'll see two more buttons. One is for a PPRA complaint and one is for a FERPA complaint. If you've listened to my previous few episodes, you'll know FERPA is the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. This is the law that I believe to be violated when a school district contracts with Panorama for surveys, then collects and shares personally identifiable information from student records with Panorama under the guise of being able to disaggregate and subgroup data. You'll want to select the complaint form for the appropriate law that is being violated. When you select the button you need, you will be taken to a PDF document that you will need to fill out. I've had the fortune of filling out both of these forms, and I'll spare you the frustration by advising you to always print yourself a copy. If you don't have a printer, take screenshots of each page of the document before sending it. I say this because it would allow me to fill it out and submit it via email, but not necessarily allow me to save the completed form as a new document. When you're done filling in the form and organizing any supporting documents or files, click Submit on the form and it will open up your default email application with the To box already filled in with the SPPO office address, and it should already have the filled out form attached to the email. You'll then need to add any of your supporting documents or files, maybe write something to whom it may concern, and sign it with your name, email address, and phone number. When all this is complete, go ahead and hit Send. Then prepare yourself for the wait. The SPPO says it could take up to 90 days to get a response. Being patient is the most trying part of the process. Once the email is received, you'll receive a reply with a tracking number that you can use to check the status of your complaint. Just be aware that checking the status of your complaint within those first 90 days doesn't guarantee progress. I'll reiterate, this stage requires patience. Before I wrap up this episode, I thought I'd run through a list of questions you might consider as we head into the new school year. This list will help you be more aware and more prepared if or when red flags present themselves in your local school district. 1. Do you know your rights as a parent or eligible student? 2. Have you read your school's student handbook? 3. Are you familiar with your school's district website? 4. Do you know where to find your school district's policies? 5. Does your district participate in social-emotional learning, school climate, and/or equity surveys? 6. Is there a formal opt-in, opt-out process or procedure in your district? 7. Do you know what surveys, assessments, or programs you're allowed to opt your student into or out of in your district? 8. Do you know when and where your local school board meetings are held? 9. What steps need to be taken to speak during public comment at your school board meeting? And last but not least, 10. Have you spoken with your child or children about what is or isn't okay in the school environment, both in regard to their behavior and language, as well as other people's behavior and language? We as parents have a lot on our plates, but we are the ones blessed with the responsibility of raising these little humans, so we need to start acting like it. It is up to us to make sure that they are not being manipulated, physically, emotionally, or psychologically abused, or used as political pawns. These are our babies. Now let's stand up and protect them from anything and anyone who tries to harm them. This episode has been packed full of information that every parent could use in their own school district, and I hope you'll take what you've learned today and grow as parents, as adults, as citizens of this beautiful country we live in. If you'd like more information about the resources I've mentioned, you can find links to them on my Facebook page, Deep End of Public Education. If you have questions, please feel free to message me on Facebook or comment on this episode post. I invite you to like, share, and follow my page, as I'll post documents, videos, and resources there as I gather them. It's not easy to admit that our schools aren't what we thought they were. It's not easy to stand up and speak truth when there are many around us that refuse to listen. I dare you to be bold and be brave. Show your kids that their education, their privacy, and their futures are worth fighting for. If you've found this information helpful, please be sure to like, share, and follow my podcast on whatever platform you're listening from, so more parents can be informed as to what's going on in the deep end of public education. I hope you'll join me again in the deep end as I begin a series of episodes in which I walk you through my district's professional development book called Belonging Through a Culture of Dignity by Floyd Cobb and John Crownapple. I'm sure you'll find it as interesting as I did. Thank you for listening, and God bless.